Everyone, I want to call the meeting to order. MPOJC Urbanized Area Policy Board, Wednesday, July 10th, 2024. And we're in the Coralville City Chambers. We need to recognize alternates.
Thanks, Mayor. So we have Eric Sittig here for Chris Hoffman of North Liberty, and I believe that's it.
Okay, is that everyone? Thank you. And then consider approval of meeting minutes. They were circulated May 29th minutes. Are there any, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Okay, motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, okay. Josh? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries. And Kent, you want to set the next board meeting?
Yeah, so we've got the next meeting date and time set here at 4:30, September 18th, but I will say it's very unlikely that we'll have to have that meeting. We normally don't have a September meeting. I just wanted to kind of put that on your radar just in case. Like we always do, we'll make sure to send out a save the date about 30 days in advance if we need it. So you'll get that reminder as well. Thanks.
Thank you. Public discussion of any item not on the agenda. Anyone want to speak about any item? Okay, we'll go on to administration and consider a resolution approving adjustments to the MPOJC planning area boundary as a result of the 2020 census.
Hi, everyone. My name is Madeline, Associate Transportation Planner with MPOJC. So to talk about agenda item 3A, a little bit of background. Each MPO is required after each decennial census to review their boundary to ensure that it includes the census-defined urbanized area as well as any bordering area that's expected to be urbanized after about 20 years. So the proposal is based off of the numbers of the 2020 census and their and based on those population numbers, we created a proposed boundary adjustment, and that map can be found in the packet as well. So this just includes little pockets, especially in Iowa City and Tiffin, that have been annexed in and are a part of that area now. And this map was sent to and approved by the DOT earlier this month. And so some implications about this boundary change is that it would just change the increased population in the MPA boundary by a little over 3,600 and would allow roads in that area to receive MPO funding, so those little pockets on the outside. This would remain in effect until the next decennial census, so the 2030 census, unless a special census or an approved boundary change were to be before that. ECI COG also reviewed this boundary adjustment earlier today, and they approved it on their board. And if it gets approved today, then it'll be sent to the Iowa DOT and then the FHWA. So staff today is requesting the approval of the proposed boundary adjustment and the population adjustment, and I would be happy to answer any questions anyone has.
Any questions for Madeline?
Just briefly, Madeline, you mentioned that this would stay in place for another 10 years. In places that are growing as rapidly as like Tiffin or North Liberty even, would the MPO expand the boundaries voluntarily? Is that something we'd consider? Does that have to come from us? How does that happen?
If there were special circumstances, then that could be a case. But right now, the proposed boundary is outside of those city limits. So if it were to be something in the next 10 years, then that could be something, a special census or an approved boundary change by the board could be considered. But the proposed boundary currently does go outside of those limits. So if land does get annexed in, then it would still very likely be in that boundary.
Got it, thank you.
Yeah, and I would just expand on that just a little bit. And even if there was an annexation, say, for a neighborhood, the likelihood of that community asking the MPO for funds to build those roads would be pretty slim anyway. And the additional population probably wouldn't result in a lot more money coming to the MPO. So that's a good question, and it's a good segue. The other thing I was gonna mention is, so there's, as Madeline mentioned, we're capturing a little over 3,600 persons that we're essentially taking from ECOG. And that sounds bad, but it's really just a matter of the way this works. And as Madeline said, ECOG voted on it earlier this afternoon and, of course, had no issue with it. When in talks with the DOT, roughly this equates to about $3,500 per person. So if you calculate this out by the 3,600 people over 10 years, it's about $1.25 million. So it actually does add up over time, and it is significant for us, so that's why we go through this process. Yeah. If there were a significant change, we could revisit this at any time, like Madeline mentioned, and a special census was held or something like that. But largely, this will probably be the way it looks for about the next 10 years. Any other questions?
Yeah, I was just kind of curious. There are some places where a city boundary is a road, and so, you know, halfway to the center line would be the city boundary, and then the rural area would be outside that. Are those roads eligible?
They would be, yeah. Okay. If they're identified as federally functionally classified roads, okay. Which is largely our arterial street network, Taft Avenue comes to mind. So if you're familiar, Taft Avenue runs on the extreme east side of Iowa City, basically north to south. And in fact, Taft Avenue does have MPO dollars in it for reconstruction or a portion of it. About 2 years from now, I think it's programmed, which is half in the county. So yep, that's a good example. It's a good question.
Any other questions? I consider a motion for a resolution approving these adjustments to the MPOJC planning area boundary.
So moved.
Okay, motion.
Second.
Okay, and there's a second. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Resolution carries. Thank you, everyone. Transportation planning. Now, Hannah's going to talk about this. Public hearing and consideration of resolutions of adoption and certification for the FY 25 to 28 MPOJC Transportation Improvement Program.
Yes, thanks. Hi, Hannah Neal, Associate Transportation Planner. So this is the final FY 25 to 28 Transportation Improvement Program, or TIP, for board approval today. The TIP, just as a reminder, is the programming document for all surface transportation projects that receive state or federal funds, including street and highway, transit, rail, bike and ped projects, all in the Iowa City urbanized area. MPOJC submits the TIP annually to the Iowa DOT to document the status of local transportation projects using those state and federal funds. And to utilize these funds, projects must be in the TIP with an accurate scope and funding source. At your May meeting, you approved the draft TIP project list. This included the transit apportionment, which you approved at your January meeting. MPOJC received roughly $4.9 million in 5307 operating assistance funds, and these funds were apportioned to the three transit agencies using a fixed percentage-based allocation based on a historic average, which, and those numbers are included in the TIP. Just as a reminder, projects not under contract are automatically rolled over in the TIP. Iowa DOT has added a few new projects, including in 2026, roughly $2.4 million for a bridge deck overlay on I-80 at the CIC Railway, 3 miles east of I-380. In 2027, roughly $2.6 million in STBG funds to pave Highway 6 in Tiffin from Grant Street to Park Road. And in 2028, $7.4 million in STBG funds is going to a new bridge and right-of-way on Highway 6 over the Iowa River, 0.2 miles east of the east junction of Iowa 1 in Iowa City. Say that five times fast. As you will recall, we award STBG and TAP funds every 2 years. At your March meeting last year, you awarded four projects: Coralville's Dubuque Street Northeast and Forever Green Road roundabout project. You awarded $675,000 in STBG funds. North Liberty's South Dubuque Street reconstruction project got $1.1 million in STBG funds. And University Heights Sunset Street and Melrose Ave project got $225,000 in STBG funds. These projects are all programmed in FY27 and were included in last year's TIP. The fourth project is Iowa City's Burlington Street Highway 1 Bridge Improvements Project. $7.3 million was awarded in STBG funds, and it's programmed in FY28. Because of this, it could not be included in last year's TIP because it only went to 2027, so it's now included in this year's. and this was done because there was not enough targeted funding to cover all the projects in FY27. Moving on to the transit portion of the TIP, this includes operating funding and projects from the transit program of projects, which is basically just a wish list that our transit agencies provide. Again, if the projects are not in the TIP, they cannot be funded, so therefore we put them in. It mainly includes buses and equipment replacement, as well as funding for new transit facilities for all three agencies. And Coralville, fun fact, Coralville has included 2 light-duty electric expansion buses. Iowa City has included 10 heavy-duty electric replacement buses with charging equipment, and CAN Bus has included 6 heavy-duty electric replacement buses, so it's exciting to see that our fleets are electrifying. All projects under contract with DOT are removed from the TIP. All STBG and TAP projects not completed in the previous fiscal year were rolled over into FY25. All DOT projects in our planning area are also included in the TIP, and all local projects will continue to be programmed and completed according to federal guidelines as they have in the past. In addition to the project lists, there is more. The TIP also includes project status reports. It identifies regionally significant projects. It outlines the MPO's public input process, the project selection procedures the MPO uses for STBG, TAP, and CRP projects, including the scoring criteria, a fiscal constraint review of the TIP projects, a financial analysis of transit projects, and statements regarding performance-based planning measures for highway safety, pavement and bridge, freight reliability, transit asset management, and transit safety. We pack a lot into this document. The MPO published a TIP hearing, notice of public hearing in the Gazette and Press Citizen 30 days prior to this meeting. We have not received any public input. All agencies on the MPO's public input list were also contacted. Again, there's the rain. No public comment has been received. So today we are requesting approval of the final FY25-28 TIP, and we will submit the final document to Iowa DOT, FHWA, and FTA by the due date of July 15th. Are there any questions I can answer?
Okay.
Sound a little bit like minutia, but I am curious about like the date frames for these things. Is the allocation of funds and spending of the funds that are listed on here when they actually accept a bid for the construction effort, or does it start when the cities have started the design process? How do these get aligned in the scheduling, basically?
So I can take that one. So once, and I was going to mention this anyway, it's a good segue, is that this coming November, we will have something like $10 million to allocate. So this board will start that process right about November. We'll come to you all with our scoring criteria, make sure we're happy with that. Then we'll solicit for projects and go through that scoring process. And then we eventually will allocate those funds, usually sometime around spring, this board will. So let's use that as an example. So come spring, when we allocate those funds, they get programmed out for when those funds are actually available. So you'll allocate the funds, and then we program them in the TIP for the year in which the funding is available. And this gets a little bit tricky because for our surface transportation block grant funds, those won't be available until federal fiscal year 29 and 30. That's our next window for the surface transportation block grant funds. But that provides time then, once the funds are allocated, to actually start design work, because some communities won't want to start that design work until they know they actually have some funding in place to actually complete the project. Otherwise, that design sits around, gets a little bit stale, and may never actually come to fruition. For our carbon reduction program funds, which is the new program that we've not ever allocated to date, that funding has actually been building, as well as our transportation alternative program funds, because when the new bipartisan infrastructure bill came out, that fiddled with the rules basically a little bit. So we had to wait on the DOT to catch up and actually tell us if we could continue on with the process we've always used or whether we had to change that. Turns out we can continue on with the process we've always used, minus a couple little tweaks. So for those pots of funding, to answer your question, those are available today. So if we were to go through our funding process right now and actually allocate those funds and get them programmed, those funds are actually available now. we're on a two-year cycle for our funding process, which comes, again, this winter we'll be working on this. So those two pots of funds are actually available almost immediately. So because we were hung up a little bit with the DOT and the FHWA on the rules, those funds have been building, sort of waiting for us to actually allocate them. And in fact, when Hannah was working on the TIP this year, when we submit the draft to them, they provide back a litany of comments. Some are rhetorical type comments, some we actually have to act on. And one of theirs was, we see your carbon reduction program funds building. We'd like to see you spend those down. The ironic part is we didn't have the rules until basically this last spring. So it's sort of like we waited on them. Now they want us to spend them immediately. So so to answer your question, it depends on the pot of funding. But realistically, even for our surface transportation block grant funds, which are primarily used for roads, can be used for trails, but primarily used for roads, that 29-30 timeframe really is sort of right around the corner. Because it's federal fiscal year, you've got a couple years of design work likely to put in, depending on what stage of the process you're in, then those funds become available. And they're reimbursement funds, so you can't actually start asking for those funds to be reimbursed until a contract's in place. And if you do so before the contract's in place, that you're on the hook for those funds. And it's not humorous, but one of the things that did happen in Iowa, it's probably been a handful of years ago now, there was a small county, sort of north central Iowa, that built a bridge, an entire bridge. The structure was done, and they went to ask for the reimbursement, and they had not completed the contract with the Iowa DOT, and the DOT said, we don't have a contract. None of this funding is reimbursable. They did work that out. They slapped their hand and they said no more, though. They said that is the end of that. So that set the stage for us really making sure that we always have our projects in place, the funding programmed, and a contract in place before we ask for reimbursement. And that's never been a problem. All of your engineers have been at this long enough. They know better, and that's never been an issue for us.
And we have a great MPO, so they
and
keep
we've got a pretty
top,
good MPO, that's right.
Top of us so that we don't delay. Thank you for that. And Louise, any other questions?
I have a question that's specific to the carbon reduction funds, mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's appropriate to ask now or not.
Sure.
So you had introduced that or reminded us of that a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I had just spoken with the bike library, who is looking to basically make their whole building. Did that connection ever happen?
It did, yes. Okay. Sarah actually reached out to Audrey Wiedemeyer, who's the yes. director of the bike okay. library, yep. So great. Unfortunately, I don't think we probably have the right funds for them, but Sarah's been able to talk to them.
Just that it was an opportunity not yeah. missed to, yep. to check and see. Okay,
yep,
thank
yep.
you.
We've reached out, thanks. Any other questions about the TIP? And just to reiterate, not related to this TIP, but we will be bringing your scoring criteria, the adopted scoring criteria, back to you around November to start that funding process, which is always a fun part of our year.
Now we do a public hearing. I call the public hearing to order. Is anyone here to speak about this? No? Okay, I close the public hearing. So we'll have consider a resolution adopting the FY25-28 Transportation Improvement Program. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Okay, motion.
Second.
Second, thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries unanimously. So then we have consider a resolution certifying compliance with federal requirements for conducting the urban transportation planning process in the Iowa City urbanized area. Am I in the wrong sheet?
No, we're fine.
Okay.
Two parts to this.
Oh, it's you.
Yeah, no,
okay,
sorry.
They're looking around.
No, there's two parts to this, and it's basically just we have two resolutions and then we have two certifications, so it's all in the same boat.
I see. Yep. We have to do them separately, you told me.
Separate votes, but
okay.
No more public
so
hearing.
So first
correct.
We'll do consider a resolution adopting the FY25-28. We did that one?
Yep.
And so now we're going to go to consider a resolution certifying compliance with federal requirements for conducting the urban transportation planning process. Okay, so we can vote on that now. Okay, a motion. Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Then the update on the Crandic.
Yeah, thanks. So this is just a verbal update. I don't have anything in the packet. As you'll all remember, last fall, you had given the MPO direction to move forward with the bus rapid transit feasibility study on the Crandic line, roughly from Penn Street, North Liberty, down to the transit center in Iowa City. We have since hired Felsberg, Holt, and Olavig to complete the study. We actually had our third of four stakeholder meetings just this past Monday and got some updates I'd like to share with you. They are currently refining ridership estimates, which I can say preliminarily look very close to the ridership estimates we had for the passenger rail studies that were completed back in 2020. They had not reviewed the actual modeler had not reviewed those numbers. So I sort of broke that to him, which made him feel pretty positive about what he's coming up with. But the ridership estimates look good. They're currently refining those as part of their modeling process. They are refining the runtime, stop locations, and frequencies. The frequencies look similar to the passenger rail studies. The stops are about twice as many. So I think the rail had about seven stops. They're looking at more like 14 stops, give or take, just because of the difference in the mode of transportation. They are refining the operations and maintenance costs. They're shifting now their efforts to looking at a little bit of whether or not a multi-use trail can actually run parallel to the corridor, which is part of the proposal or the request for proposal. And then one of the neat things they're actually doing, and I did not realize this was something that had to be done, was they're identifying grant opportunities, which I knew had to be done. The Small Starts Grant is what it's called, is one of the FTA's grants that would most likely be allowable or most likely be attainable for a project like this. And the part that I didn't realize was that prior to getting into a Small Starts grant, there's a rating system that you actually have to run your numbers through. And they've actually been spending quite a bit of time on that rating system. So essentially what it looks at is your total project costs compared to your ridership estimates in a nutshell. And that's why they're really taking a hard look at our ridership estimates, because if we apply for that Small Starts grant, they're going to dig into that really deep, the federal government will, to make sure that we actually know what we're doing, say what we're saying is accurate. So I had not realized that was a part of it, but they're spending quite a bit of time on that to make sure we're able to apply for a Small Starts grant should we get to that point. We will be holding the fourth of four stakeholder meetings sometime in August, and we'll be able to review all this material at that point in time, and the complete report should be done sometime thereafter. And then the other thing I just wanted to mention is that there's been quite a few emails flying around, many of you may have received, that the Better Together 2030 group has still been engaging the community in conversations with the pop-up metro concept. So this is what I think Laura had mentioned at our last meeting, and Mackenzie DeRue from Greater Iowa City Incorporated had also been present to discuss a little bit. So we sort of got two or three different things working simultaneously, but it's a really exciting time to see where this all goes, see what the reports say, and then we'll be able to make some direct comparisons and start the larger discussion in the community to see which way we want to go. And happy to answer any questions you might have.
Is running the numbers through the rating system, what you're referring to, is that affecting the timeline of the study? Is
no,
it impacting
no, it's
it
not.
At all?
Yeah, good question. No, they knew they had to do that. I just wasn't aware that that was actually part of the Small Start.
Okay,
so
perfect.
The reason these consultants were hired is because they're very good at this, obviously, but and they've had a lot of experience with this. Felsberg, Holt, and Olavig is the primary, and then Nelson Nygaard, who is a world-renowned transit consulting group, is also working on this. And most recently, they had worked in Fort Collins on the MAX, mm-hmm. Which also went through this process. So, no, they knew this was happening.
Okay.
I just didn't see it coming.
Yep. Great.
And, yeah, and then the final study should be done roughly 6 weeks, give or take. So it's coming fast.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Can you talk a little bit about the stakeholder group, who that includes and what kind of engagement you've received, and if it's mostly about the technical aspects or it's just community thoughts and feelings?
Yeah, no, it's almost 100% technical at this point.
Okay.
We've got representatives from each of the MPO communities, less University Heights, just because they don't touch the rail, so to speak. So there are representatives from North Liberty, Coralville, Iowa City, the university, the county. We've got two representatives, one from the transit side, one from the rail side, from the DOT. Amanda Martin has actually spoke with you all about the passenger rail studies several years ago when we were engaging on that. I'm trying to think who I'm missing. Myself. I think that's it. And it's from the three major groups, North Liberty, Coralville, Iowa City, it's the transit directors.
Sure.
Yep.
So no community members have been invited in yet, so they shouldn't be primed for this conversation quite yet.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and we've even had, even at the board level, I think maybe it was Megan maybe had received some concern about the rail. Was that right in Coralville? Or excuse me, sorry.
Yeah, I did.
Sorry, you had, that's right. Wrong community, yes.
Correct.
And Iowa City had I had received a few questions or concerns from Iowa City. I'm looking at Megan. And I've been telling folks basically that, you know, this is a feasibility study, right? So this is really high level to see what it would cost, if it's even feasible, because of regulatory issues, because of cost constraints, right-of-way constraints, that sort of thing. I think the next step in the process, should you all decide that we want to go either passenger rail, pop-up metro, the bus rapid transit route, whatever it might be, is then to engage with the community and find out if they want to do that before we move on. The next step would really be getting into design. And once we get into design, I mean, that's when you have decided this is where we really want to go with this. The feasibility study is really to tell us if it's possible and if you want to move on to design. So I think there's going to be a break somewhere where we're all discussing sort of how to move forward. And once that happens, or simultaneously with that, I think that's when you all would want to engage with the public to ask them, is this something you all want to do, spend your tax dollars and so on. Yep. So I don't think we're quite there yet, but I think that's coming soon. And that's again, what I've been telling the community members that I talk to.
Yeah. So August is your 404 stakeholder meeting. And then there is some additional time to finalize, and you'll deliver the report by the end of the year.
Hopefully deliver the report more like end of September.
Okay.
Yeah. And along with that, I'm not exactly sure how it looks yet. That's to be determined, but there'll be some form of formal presentation, whether that's to this group, whether it's to each individual council. I'm not exactly sure how that looks yet, but we'll definitely want to get a formal presentation to you all so you can see how this study went.
Kent, at one time, I remember the bus rapid transit people saying that there were three or four different ways in which they could adapt rail lines. And three or so of those were fairly permanent, and one was kind of a temporary overlay type thing that didn't actually pull up the rails.
Right.
Are they going to price out multiple solutions here? I assume there's different costs for different solutions there.
Yeah, I think so, Rod. And I think what will happen is that the actual cost of the rail bed, so to speak, the actual transition into whatever that might be, whether it's, and I think what it is one's pulling the tracks out and basically paving a road. Mm-hmm. And then the other, for simplicity's sake, is basically paving around the tracks, almost like a rail crossing where we're crossing it perpendicular. This would be parallel to them. I don't know if there's going to be a huge cost difference in terms of the overall cost. So I'm not sure they'll cost those out separately, because I don't think there's probably going to be a huge change in that. But that's a good point, and that's something I will definitely ask them. Yeah. And I think the idea of leaving the tracks and sort of paving around them, and I'm no expert at this, so I'm not even sure if that's feasible. That's something that Crandic, I think, originally had been somewhat interested in, saying, okay, if we move forward with this, is there a way that we can leave the tracks and have some efficiencies if we ever want to go back the other direction? Whether or not that's possible, I don't know. Yeah, good question.
Just a comment for the board. For those of you who maybe haven't heard the pop-up metro pitch yet or want to learn more about that, the joint entities meeting on Monday night, it's coming Monday, July 15th, it should be on that agenda as well. So tell your colleagues if there are still folks who are interested but haven't had a chance to see that.
No. Any other questions? Okay, we'll go on the update of the Safe Streets and Roads for All.
Hi, Sarah Walls with the MPO. You may remember that back in December, we announced that we'd been awarded the $300,000 from the Safe Streets and Roads for All SS4A grant. That is funded through the bipartisan infrastructure law, and it allows us to establish what's called a safety action plan that focuses on reducing and eliminating roadway deaths and serious injuries. And the adoption of that plan, in turn, would make MPO communities eligible for additional grants aimed at addressing safety issues on our roads. Because that's such a large program, so many grants were awarded, this is taking some time to get squared away. This spring, staff submitted a draft agreement to the FHWA, and just this morning, we heard back, and we're making a few final edits. We actually made them this morning and hoping to hear back soon, so hopefully we'll be signing off on a contract sometime in August. Once we have the agreement finalized, we can go forward with a request for proposal to work with a consultant on the plan. Just as a reminder, as part of that, there's a 20% local match. That would be $75,000. Minus the Iowa DOT will kick in $12,000. So that leaves $63,000 that we will divide between the communities. We'll keep you updated as we get in the process. Once we have put out the RFP and we have a price, then we know it might be less than $63,000 to split between us. But that's where we are in the process right now.
And I've been in contact with all the city administrators to let them know that, because now we're spanning fiscal years, to basically give them an update so they're aware of that and they'll be able to budget accordingly. This is exciting. It's only a $300,000 grant, but the exciting part is that it opens us up, once the planning document's done with the $300,000, it opens us up to a huge pool of funding that came through the bipartisan infrastructure bill, as Sarah mentioned, and that's really what's exciting and why everybody's clamoring to get these studies done, because there's a huge pile of money available. And right now, the FHWA has told us they're working on getting the round one awards completed, and that's why it's taking a little bit of time to get to us. We were around two, so we'll see. Hopefully we can get this through and get somebody hired, hopefully this fall sometime. But by doing so, all the communities were involved and everybody agreed to be part of this. So when it comes time to apply or try and grab some of these larger pool of funds, all of our jurisdictions will be ready to do that.
Great, thank you, Sarah. Is there any other business? Okay, is the motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Okay, second. A second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Motion carried.
Thanks,
you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone, very much. I know this is a short meeting.